hope you don't think I'm scolding you about praying and asking God to do things. We're going to read this morning where David had sinned before God, and he had went maybe a year and a half. We don't know how long, it doesn't say, but it was a while, and David was broken in spirit, and he asked God to do something for him. And when we ask God to do something, we should realize God will do that. God will do the very thing he asks us. But in doing that thing he asks us, we have to be studying his word and ready to walk in his word, ready to submit ourselves to him, because it says in the book of Hebrews, every sin and transgression will receive its just recompense or reward. There's laws God set in motion in the universe, those of sowing and reaping. And sometime what we don't realize, the psalmist David had said in one of his psalms, I went astray before I was afflicted. You know, sometime in your life you've lived certain ways and did certain things before God punishes you. I don't know how many of your parents sometime, if you had a bunch of children sometime, they whoop them, and after they say, well, I hadn't did nothing. Well, that's for when, what you had done or what you're going to do. Or sometime they store up those whippings or whatever. You know, sometime God passes over our sin, but it's only for a season or whatever. Deacon had read at the book of Romans about that he would be the one through his righteousness would justify us, because he was a propitiation for our sins. He was a covering. But believe you me, God's going to wash you in regeneration. He's going to purge away all of the dross, all of that in you that has formed over the years, and you will be presented to him without a spot or a blemish. But that comes at a significant price. It comes as death to self. Washing and regeneration, we talked about that it requires faith first. That we see that David trusted and he believed in God. He was a man after God's own heart. David sinned against God. David sinned against God. And sometime as we get older, we retire out and we start doing other things. And as I was talking to Mr. Luther about some of us are different. In our retirement or latter years, we press on and stay active and remain doing things. Even though our health may fail us or whatever, we still press on. We still just get up and start putting one foot ahead of the other one or whatever. David was placed in retirement. David was replaced in a retirement, and that became one of his most dangerous times. You know, they say an idle mind is a workshop for the devil. Well, David was idle during this time. And what happened was, David, it starts, and look in the book of 2 Samuel. If you look in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, David was a man of war. He had fought many of battles. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter, I think it is, the 15th through the 17th verse. 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. I mean, 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter, 15th through the 17th verse. It says, now the Philistines were at war again with Israel. David went down to his servants, and as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. Then Ishbibenob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels, that's about 6 pounds of bronze, was armed with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to David's aid and struck and killed a Philistine. Then David's men swore to him and said, you shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel. You're getting too old to fight, David. Some of these people, you're a valiant man and you're a really good fighter or whatever, but your time has passed. We don't want you to get killed as our leader, the leader of Israel. We don't want that light extinguished. And so they said that they would fight the battles for David. But when you put at ease, when you think you've gotten wealth, when you've gotten success, when you've been through life, beware, idle mind is a workshop for the devil. David became idle at that time. It was time that kings go out to war. Joab and them was out warring and fighting. And David looked, and that's when he seen Bathsheba. David looked, and that is when he seen Bathsheba. And that's when he sinned against God. That's when he did a presumptuous thing. It had to be presumptuous. David thought he could get away with that. He connived and he schemed. But our first point passes way beyond that, because we know of that story of David and Bathsheba. But I told you, a length of time had went by. David wasn't right with the Lord. I don't know how many of you hadn't been right with the Lord in a while. You hadn't really felt the Spirit of God. You seem like something is broken in you. You're not in proper fellowship with God. You know, confession is good for the soul. Confession is good for the soul. David, God sent his grace after David. You know, God sends his grace after us. And David didn't know, let me say it this way, David wasn't pursuing after God. David was pining away in his sin. And God sent Nathan to David. God sent Nathan to David and told David of his sin. Told David this parable about this man with the lamb. And when David heard that, David confessed and he says, "Oh Lord, you got me." He was really smote. God smites us. God sends his grace after us. God convicts us. God doesn't leave us where we are. Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost. And that's why we preach the gospel, because the gospel is going out to souls that are guilty, that are sin-laden, that are heavy with sin, that are burdened down, that need God. And when David was convicted by Nathan of this sin, David asked for forgiveness, and he pledged a radical departure from the old man. He asked for this forgiveness, and we see David's life change. God forgave David. He says, listen at this, please, because we have to confess our sin. We won't have that fellowship with God. The reason a lot of us today are the way we are is that we're lacking fellowship with God. God doesn't fellowship with us when we're in darkness. When we're in our sin, in unrepentant sin, when we've done something, we have to confess to God. We need that conviction of the Spirit. We need God to convict us. If our conscience has been seared to where we don't confess sin, we have no fellowship. It says our iniquity separates us from God. That's what separates us. Our sin separates us. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." That's what washes and cleanses, because of the fellowship. See, that blood, we talked about blood Wednesday night. We have to have his blood sprinkle upon us. He's sprinkling us, making us clean. But that washing is a hard washing. It's like, you done heard of that old lye soap, that old soap they used to use in the old days. That stuff wouldn't dissolve. You can leave it in water almost all night. It just wouldn't melt away. But it would last, you know. You can scrub something really clean with that. Well, God scrubs us now. When God washes and cleanses, but if we confess God and ask for forgiveness, he'll cleanse us of those sins. Listen to David. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Just the way that you need to do this the right way, God. According to your loving kindness. Not according to man. He says, "According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions." Because he had transgressed God in sinning with Bathsheba. David had sinned a lot of different ways. David was a man of blood. But this sin separated him from God. This was the one God came knocking on his door for. David says, "Wash me thoroughly and my wickedness and guilt from my wickedness and guilt and cleansing me from my sin. Are you sure you want him to do that, David? You remember Jesus when he was asked the blind man, he says, are you sure you want to be healed? Are you sure you want God to wash you? That's what I was talking about in your prayer when you say wash. Because when you ask for God to wash somebody, ask him to wash yourself, because washing somebody else, they might not can take that washing. Let them pray that prayer. That's why he says save ourselves. Because God's washing sometimes, it's like I say with that soap, it's abrasive sometimes. It can hurt. It hurts. It hurts. It really does. He says, for I am conscious of my transgression and I acknowledge them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this thing which is evil in your sight. So that you, when you speak, you're justified. Now listen at this. He didn't say it was against Bathsheba, did he? He said it was against God and God only. And so we have to be careful of sin. Because sin is the transgression of God's laws. That's why 1 John says, if we have fellowship with him and walk in the light as he's in the light, that means we have to continue in his word. Thus, we must be meditating in his word day and night. We must be studying to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed, so we wouldn't be doing these things that separate us from God. Now, also, I told you that was presumptuous sin. Let me keep reading here, though, because David was pleading with God. Is that too much air on you, Mr. Luther?
Uh-huh.
That's too much air on you? Because I can cut that off.
No,
He says, and faultless in your judgment.
Good on y'all, but it just ain't good on me.
I was brought forth in a state of wickedness. In sin my mother conceived me, and from my beginning I too was sinful. From his beginning, he said, he was sinful. He realized that he was in sinful flesh. He says, in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. You know, today people want to look good on the outside. Jesus say you like whited sepulchres. You show up the outside, man. You try to have an appearance of good, but inside is rottenness, it's deadness. That's where the cleansing needs to take place. That's where the washing, that's what defiles a man, the things that comes out of a man. That what goes into him doesn't defile him, but that what comes out of him is what defiles the man. He says, and in the hidden part of my heart, you will make me know wisdom, purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness and be satisfied. Now, we don't, like I told you the other week, I don't read of where David suffered any physical deformities. In other words, I don't see where he was damaged in battle, even here when they retired him, where he had gotten hurt, where any bones or anything was broken. But here David says, heal, where am I at here? Wash me, make me joy. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Let the bones, in other words, the spirit is the discerner into the marrow of the bones or whatever. And in other words, there were broken fellowship there with David. That's why he was in spiritual agony. That fellowship, he says, the bones you had been broken. He's been disjointed. You know, it's like Ezekiel looked at the valley of dry bones. Here a bone, there a bone laying over there. Those bones have to come together in one body, nourished by God. But God had to sever his way himself from David because David was walking in darkness. And he says, heal the bones. And we know God's blood healeth all sin. God's blood is that atonement. That's the propitiation. That covers all our sin. But there's that washing, that regeneration, that making alive again. And David was pleading for it. He says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit and a steadfast spirit within me. Give me something new here. He gives us a new heart when he regenerates us. He gives us his spirit, that inner spirit that Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, that guides us and leads us in all truth. That's the regenerator right there. That Holy Spirit in us. He says, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. So I say a lot of us right now, we may be saved, but we don't have no salvation. We're walking around, and that's a bad sign to walk around looking like you're not saved, that you don't have any joy, because Jesus said, I give you a peace and a joy no man can take.
Yes.
No man can take this peace of joy. So it must not be physical, it has to be spiritual. Yes. The spiritual bones that David had broken was that fellowship with God.
Yes.
Only the blood of Jesus Christ heals. Now that blood, that's a precious blood. I told you the other night how precious that blood is. He says, sustain me with a willing spirit, O Lord. Open my eyes that I may pray, declare your praises. So here's a full confession. God hears our confessions. I told you David had shed much blood. That was one of the reasons David couldn't build the house of God. David had some escapades there. If we read and study David, a lot of people wouldn't want to be like David, because like I say, David was a pretty rough fellow. David was a pretty rough fellow. David had shed much blood, and that's why in the 14th verse of that Psalm 51, he says, rescue me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing joyfully of your righteousness and your justice. He had murdered Uriah now. That was murder. David was a man of war. David, when he's put his arms down, David got in trouble. But before then, David was a mighty warrior. But God wouldn't allow him to build his house because he had a lot of blood on his hands. You can't do something with blood on your hand, and you can't wash the blood off your hands. You can't do that. God has to wash that blood off your hands. God has to wash that blood off your hands. In that confession, I don't know if you realize what you've done in your life. It's not gone by yet. It seemed like it was gone, but it's coming up again. Wherever you transgressed God, it's coming up if you hadn't paid for that sin. The sacrifices of God. What's the sacrifices of God? We were in the book of Romans earlier. We look at Romans again. Romans 12 and 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, declaring all of yourself set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, your logical, intelligent act of worship. Is to present your body as a sacrifice. You know, if you go all the way back to Cain and Abel, you look throughout the Bible, you look and see people making sacrifices. Did God really require those sacrifices of them? God might have showed them how to present those sacrifices to them, but it was a conscious, it was a guilt. The conscience had been convicted that it was something that they had to do to appease God. They wanted to appease God. You know how you do people something or whatever, and you go back and try to repay it because it's bothering your conscience or whatever, because you know you done wrong? See, man's been all his life trying to appease, as some of the old preachers say, to the wrath of an angry God. What we need to do to appease the wrath of an angry God, I can tell you now, it's nothing you can do. But God says present your body as a living sacrifice to him. That's your reasonable thing. In other words, you need that death is required. Jesus Christ died that substitutionary death. Now we have to take up our cross and deny ourselves. We have to die to self. We have to do just as he did. Look at Psalms again. Psalms, the 51st chapter, 16th through the 19th verse says, now listen to what he says here. David realized this. He says, you do not desire a sacrifice, else I would offer one. Now, notice the context in which he's offering this. Because he had offered a sacrifice. You remember he on Ornan's threshing floor, he had offered up a sacrifice for transgressing God and counting Israel from numbering Israel. So he's not talking about a sacrifice in that context. He was meaning for the atonement of his sin, of to make him spiritually right with God. The only way you can do that is that God tells us in his word, God will provide himself a lamb. He told Abraham that. It wasn't necessary that he kill Isaac. God was testing him to see would he kill Isaac. But God says, I'm going to provide the lamb. I'm going to provide the sacrifice for sin. There's only one sacrifice for sin, and that was his only begotten son. That was the blood from, that's the only thing that can cleanse you from your sin. And all that in the Old Testament was just types and shadows of a better covenant that God was going to ratify us with us. And it was going to require the precious blood of a sinless sacrifice. See, those animals, you have just kept doing that over and over. You still had that conscience of sin. But when God gives us a clear conscience, when we are, what you just read, we are justified before God. And when God justifies us, puts us in right standing with him, there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. We know that those sins are blotted out, as David asked. He said, blot out my transgressions that are against me. We know God erases all those things to those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, you do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered with the right spirit, with burnt offerings and with whole sacrifices. Then if we repent, if we turn, God will raise up our forces. He will raise up security around us. When he say the walls of Jerusalem, God's going to be that wall around us. He's going to be that protection. If we present our bodies as a living, each day we present our bodies before God as a sacrificial offering. Paul said we'll pour it out as a drink offering before the Lord. We're crucified all day long for his name's sake. That's for standing up for what's right, standing up for God. That's what we need to do, stand for what's right. Some people live an outward life for years and years, and then they lie. Then they commit some sin or whatever because of the internal thing. This is something you're trying to do that you can't do. The only thing that can cleanse you and purge you from those sins and that unrighteousness is the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood has to be applied to your life. So you don't interfere in affairs or meddling matters of others that's not in righteousness. Everything you do is righteousness. Say, everything you do is of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. See, we have to have that appearance of godliness. We can't, as David did. That's why God says, you've caused my name to be blasphemed among the heathen. In other words, if we belong to this church, we go to work on our jobs, in our home, or wherever we are, if we're not living a life representative of Jesus Christ, if we're lying, if we're cheating, carousing, and living an offhanded life, he's going to come at a time we know not of and punish you for that. We have to lay aside every weight and sin that besetting us from running this race. The second point is that cleansing process I was telling you about. The actual washing. That actual washing is what's, you know, you ever put clothes in the washing machine and they have to be washed? It's violent action in there. That the tumblers, that thing is shaking those clothes to beat that dirt out of it. Sin is embedded in your life. It has to be expunged out of there. It has to be expunged. Hatred, bitterness, anger, all these things has to be purged out of you. That's the regeneration making you new here. I told you, when you go to the wound clinic, if you got a sore on you, And a lot of times it's a lengthy process, especially if you have diabetes or something like that. Each week they have to go there and they have to shave that skin around the wound. They have to keep cutting it away because it's calloused around there. And you keep growing new skin, but they have to keep, sometime that's a 6-month process or so. Because they're continually cutting and allowing it to grow. God's could go continually break that spirit in you. You could continually learn to submit yourself unto God and stop living for self. He says, take up your cross and deny yourself. You will learn self-denial, how to deny those selfish lusts and everything. He says, mortify the body. What is mortification? It's making dead, isn't it? Making, you have to crucify self, where you would not obey sin and the lust thereof. See, David wasn't well disciplined. He would have did like Job. He wouldn't have allowed his eyes to sin by looking over there at Bathsheba bathing. Job said, I shall set no wicked thing before my eyes. Was it wicked to look at a woman like that? Yes, because he had lust in his heart, and that wasn't his wife. That was someone else's wife. Jesus says to look at a woman, the lust after you committed sin in your heart already. You see, we can't be callous to sin. We have to know that that sin is terrible. Peter says in the first, 2 Peter, the first chapter, 14 verse says, Jesus Christ has showed me to pull off this old tabernacle. He have to pull off that old. In other words, Peter made a statement when reviled, he reviled not again. Now this is Peter now, the one that told the Lord that, so be it, Lord, it's not for you to go to the cross. This is Peter that said that I'll never deny you. But now Peter's learning, sometime when people say something to you, you don't have to say anything back. You don't have to reply in anger and hostility toward a larger man. Sometime learned that you have to take certain blows. That's under the blood, though. You have to be under the blood to do that, because that old man's gonna want to be like David. He's gonna want to kill. He's gonna want to fight back. David was ready to go and kill Naboth because Naboth refused to give his soldiers food and vessels and things. And David said he was going to kill him. God intervened through Nabal's wife, Abigail, a woman David eventually married. See, we have to watch that old man. We have to put him to death because we're going to respond to anger in what people do to us and things in life. We're going to try to satisfy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things we have to resist. Those things we have to put down. Peter says God's going to show us how to put off this old tabernacle. We all must submit to the Holy Spirit. But the only way we can do that is that God give us of his Spirit. And Peter said, how do you get that Spirit? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive of the Holy Spirit. Now when he gives you that Holy Spirit, that's the power from on high. That's why he told them to tarry ye at Jerusalem, at Galilee, until you receive power from on high. It gives you the power to overcome the world. God love overcomers. He said, I've overcome the world, and he wants you to overcome the world just as he overcame the world. That's why we make that statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So listen to David now. Listen to King David. Psalms, the 19th chapter. The 19th Psalm, 2nd through the 14th verse. He says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, by his commandments, by his words. And in keeping them there is great reward. That's the way we keep sin away from. We hide his law in our hearts. See, in this New Testament, this new covenant, he writes those laws upon our hearts. We have to watch out for people saying the law is done away with. Because regeneration, God's writing his laws on our hearts to show us to be able to keep his laws. That's that sprinkling with clean water. The Spirit sprinkles us with the water, the washing of the word. The washing of the word. So we have that word written in our being. That's who we are. He's bringing out what's inside of us. That spirit inside of us is being made alive. It's being quickened. It's uniting with that Holy Spirit, is uniting with our spirit, and that's giving us a life, giving life. He says, this body is dead to sin. I no longer live it. I don't do what I do, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in me. It's that spirit of Christ in me that's doing this. I can't receive the glory. I give him all the glory and the praise. Who can understand his own errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. If you don't think that you have sin, if you don't think that you have faults, you got a problem. David's asking, look, cleanse me from all those little hidden faults, those secret faults that I don't see. Cleanse me. I need to get away from those. That's going to keep me away from you, God. See, while I was up in the castle and just looking and going on, maybe the Spirit should have led me to pray or do something else. But see, my flesh looked out and seen this woman. God's going to tell us how to not do these things. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. See, he presumed upon God. That's the worst thing to do, to presume upon God. Mary and Joseph presumed. They thought Jesus was with them, and they went 2 or 3 days' journey, and Jesus was way back the other way. Sometime we can't presume. We do one thing one way, and it's going to happen another. David knew this was wrong, of going with this man's wife. Well, how do you think this is going to end, David? You know, a lot of times we sin and say we go pray to God for forgiveness. That's wrong there. That's part of the error of Balaam. You had a doctrine of Balaam and the way of Balaam and the error of Balaam. You can't presume upon God. Don't think you can say, well, I'll do this and I'll repent and I'll turn. Let them not have dominion over me, Lord. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, God is one that cleanses our hearts or whatever. Where does that start? How does that look when it starts? The suffering. Suffering. He chastens every son that he receives. I acknowledge that you're my son. Now I'm about to put you through the ringer. He says he scourges every son that he receives. So he heard David's plea. He saw David's repentance. He was working with David. The suffering we endure is identifying with the body of Christ. That's what we're called to suffer. All of us are called. We must suffer to enter in. That, I don't care what other gospel or what other doctrine they're preaching. The word of God said we have to suffer to enter in. That's that denial of self. The cross, walking that blood trail. 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter in the 14th verse. Here's a word from God. Can't we trust God's word? That's what we have faith and confidence in. He says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. He's talking about David's son here, Solomon. Because, let's go there. Let me not just pull that one out of there. Let me tell you what happened. You remember he took his spirit, he took the kingship. He took this away from Saul. Well, he wasn't going to do the same way with David's son. He had established David's dynasty forever. And moreover, started at the 10th verse. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. David had asked about building God's house. And I told you he wouldn't allow David to build it because he was a man of God. But he couldn't establish David in that because of those things. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since that time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thine fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul when I put away before thee. So he is promising David that he's going to work in a different fashion. And we're part of David's legacy. We're part of the sons of David. We're part of that kingdom that God had promised. So when we sin, God doesn't take his spirit away. And I'm talking about the born again church. I'm talking about those that God are regenerating and have given his spirit. So what does that washing require? When you sin, he said, I'm going to punish you with the rod of men. The rod of men, that's the hand of God. In other words, God may kill you. He said he wasn't going to kill David, but God may allow sickness to come upon you. God may strip you of everything you have. That's part of the washing. That's part of the cleansing. That's why I was telling you when you're praying, when you ask to wash, let those people ask, because it may be something you may not want. That washing that cleanses you, that breaks you, you need to know what you're getting yourself into. He said, David asked for his pardon. And David, I've put away your sin. You won't die. But I will kill that child you got coming. That child is going to die, David. David, I put away your sin. I'm going to wash you. You asked me to wash you and cleanse you. But you know what, David? In that washing, the sword will never leave your house. You want to be washed, David? I'm going to show you how to be washed, David. Swore to never leave there, David. The thing is, in this washing, David, you'll see your son rape your daughter. Problems in the household. He had a dysfunction in the household, didn't he? Was that part of the washing? David didn't jump up and kill a son for doing that, but it made David a broken man. You remember he said the bones that you had broken? Heal them. He could only depend on God. You get to a point you can't depend on your children. You can't depend on nothing but God. You're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, because he had made these promises to you. So, his other son, I'm going to take this up. Dad's not doing anything. Absalom comes in, and here's one of David's other sons. Absalom murders Adonijah, murders this other son of David. For raping his sister. Do David have problems in his household? How would you like to be washed like that? Is he getting washed? He's getting cleansed. But he didn't kill Absalom, did he? He told Joab not to kill the son. But he getting washed though. God, you want to be washed? Watch the washing now. You know, he sent Jesus to the cross. He allowed men to murder Jesus. You want to be washed? He stoned Stephen. You want to be washed? Isaiah was sawn in half. See, they're preaching you a different gospel. I don't know what this gospel is. Health, wealth, and prosperity, and all these things you have in life, happily ever after. Paul, they took him and chopped his head off. You want to be washed? It's a bloody washing now. It's going to require blood. It requires this death. Peter, you're going to be crucified upside down. John, you'll be boiling oil. You want to be washed? You're going to suffer. He says, Ananias, you go there and tell Paul to be baptized and wash away his sin and just show him how much he's going to have to suffer for my namesake. He was beaten thrice, 40, with 40 stripes, right? He was left for cold, for dead. He was shipwrecked. He wanted to be washed. The blood requires suffering to enter in there. That's the washing from God. When you say, wash me, Lord, he's going to wash you, all right? He's going to wash you in blood. That's the covering. You are stained, baptized. Baptism is the stain with a dye. You're covered by the blood. The only way God can look over you is that he looked down and see his blood that you covered with his son's blood. Then he can't see your sin because the sin is under the blood. By his stripes we were healed. That beating he took, that's what healed you. Solomon killed his other brother over the throne, you remember? Then Absalom turned around and tried to kill David. David had to flee barefooted. David running through there from his son barefooted. He says, if the Lord want me to return and be king, I'm not going to fight for that crown that I used to fight for. If God want, I've learned that God has to fight my battle. Yes. On the way out, Shimeon seen him and cursed David and called him a man of blood and cursed him and called Absalom, you want me to go take his head off? This is what he tell one of his generals. No, Eliam the cursed man. God must have allowed that. See, David is being broken. David has learned to be tortured. David is submitting himself to God. It says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he shall flee. You have to see God is sovereign. He's allowing all these circumstances to go on. You want me to work with my knee all messed up and we came in here, a lot of us came in with aches and pains and things. I tell you what, you know, well, that's just part of life. We will suffer. If you want me to have this affliction, I'm going to suffer, but I'm going to serve you. Job being washed, what did Job do? He said, no, you go try Job. Let me wash him for you. Take everything he got, then take his children, and then destroy himself. But Job says, though he slay me, yet will it. You know, Job was being regenerated. He came out better on the other side. He says, now I understand and I know you better, God. The things you've been through in life, don't you see God's better now? If I'd have known that a long time, I'd have been submitted myself to God. He can work this out. Submission to God requires resisting the devil. That sometime that devil is within us. That devil will rise up. I don't have to take this off you. Nobody tells me that. That's self. You trying to protect and defend yourself. You trying to provide for yourself. God will provide your every need. Are you looking unto God? Or are you looking unto self? God, David said, I don't need you to go kill him. God must want him to curse me. Let him go. But see, that's not that God doesn't require justice. David also was a man of justice. He was that type, a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Huh? Because for him to curse the king, David told Solomon before he left, now Shimei cursed me when I was running away. Don't let his hoary head go to the grave of natural death. In other words, he has. You remember I told you every sin and transgression has to receive its just recompense or reward? You shouldn't curse the king. You shouldn't curse God's servants. So Solomon was the one David told justice has to be done. You know, generals think they're above everybody else. Abner was Saul's general and Amasa. Joab was David's general, head man. Joab killed Amasa, one of the ones that David made general. Joab killed him, and Joab killed Abner because Abner had killed his brother. Even though Joab was the general, he was his right-hand man, he was a murderous man also. He was a good man, but he also was a murderous man. And as David lied dying, he says, look, I got to even the score here. I got to make sure justice is served. You killed Joab too. You killed my general because he's didn't sin. He's didn't transgressed. Now it was the law if a person was in the tabernacle, if he was in the tent and he grabbed hold to the horns, that he was to get mercy. But they said that Joab had ran in and grabbed hold to the horns. Solomon said, kill him there. Drag him out and kill him. See, because whatever sin you've committed, you will have to give account for the deeds done in your body. What a man sows, he'll reap. There's a day of reckoning. What's done in the dark has to come to the light. That's in that washing. That's why in regeneration we let God do these things. You understand what I'm saying? It's suffering. We're going to have to suffer because we can't take our enemy out. Paul suffered because he was right there with the people. He held the garments of the people that stoned Stephen. Paul never forgot that. Paul never forgot that. He said, I was worse of all sinners because I persecuted the church. But he suffered for it. You know, a lot of times we did things against our spouse. We did things against people in school years ago. We've done things in our life. And until God comes in and justifies us, puts us in a state, we have a conviction of that, hopefully. And then God wipes away that and you feel it through repentance. You change your life radically as David changed his life radically and turn it over to God. And then when God allows people to do you that same thing, you understand it and you don't fight back. You be like Peter, when reviled, you revile not again. You stop fighting. That's because you didn't submit it yourself to God. You don't resist. That's like turning the other cheek when smited because God told you to do these things. He says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. You trusting in God to even the score. You doing what God told you because he's washing you of those sins because evil is evil. He said, when your son do evil, I'll repay him with the rod of me. So God allows men to do you things because of what you've done to men, what you've transgressed against God. That's why when you pray, Lord, forgive me of my transgressions as I forgive others who have transgressed against me. We have to watch our walk. And we have to know the God we serve. We have to study and show ourselves approved. Amen. So this washing is not an easy thing. This is a process God sends his people through to form character. It's a process of tolerance at times. People talk about, well, I don't tolerate another gospel. During this time of year, you're going to have to tolerate a lot of foolishness. But just because someone's not preaching the same gospel you preach, just because someone's not serving God the way you serve God, just because somebody serve another God, doesn't mean you go out and ostracize that person, or kill that person, rise up against them and call them all kinds of names or whatever. You take heed to Jesus Christ. When the sons of thunder seen other people going around preaching the gospel, preaching the wrong things, and they said, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven to strike them? What did Jesus tell them? You know what? You don't know what spirit you be of. You don't know what manner of spirit that's in you that's saying that. He that is not with me is against me. In other words, let God take care of some things in the world. God's sovereign. I don't see anywhere where God relinquished and gave you authority and made you God, where he put you in charge. You allow God to take care of some things in life. You allow that person to go straight to hell if he wants to because you warned him by preaching the gospel. You warned him. You've given him God's word. But you can't force his life. You can't force somebody into allegiance. I can't force you to serve the things I serve. People talking about, oh, Merry Christmas, you have to do this, that. What? Who made you God? Show me where God says about Christmas in the Bible then. You show me what God told me to do and to what to pledge allegiance to. That's what Daniel and the Hebrew boy said. They was in Babylon and didn't God tell them, pray for the peace of Babylon? You should pray for the peace of this nation every day. You should pray for your leaders every day. Now, I'm not telling you how or what to pray. You listen at God, and God, like I told you, the Holy Spirit guides you and leads you in all truth. But devil, back a lie. If somebody's wrong, if somebody's lying, don't care if that's your grandmother. Wrong is wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
God is what's right. You follow God, and that's why you need the Spirit, the prompting of the Spirit. You need God's Spirit to lead and guide you in all righteousness. So that's what we're looking at. They wouldn't bow down and worship the gods of Babylon. We're working. Daniel was working in the cabinet of Nebuchadnezzar, but he had to pray the way God told him to pray. The Hebrew boys, they were working in the cabinet. They excel all the rest of them, but they couldn't bow down to worship or bow down to what they wanted them to pledge allegiance to. I will not bow and I will not bend because God's going to go with me in the fiery furnace. They were cast into the fiery furnace. God was right in the furnace with them. When he's washing you, he's going to put you through the fire. He's going to purge you to make sure it's right. Conclusion. To close this off. So what Paul said in the book of Psalm 51 and 12. He says, restore to me your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressor your ways and sinners shall be converted to you in return. I'll be able to preach then. I won't be a hypocrite. See, you need to be purged like God purged Isaiah's tongue. He put that coal on his tongue. Before you can tell people about the word of God, you need to wash and clean up yourself. If I'm a preacher, I'm some sort of evangelist or something. I'm a hypocrite if I'm telling people to do something I'm not doing. If I tell them to live like I'm not doing, that's why Jesus said, do as the Pharisees say, not as they do. You know, it's a lot of people are hypocrites. But when he says, cleanse me and wash me, then he says, then you'll release my tongue to tell people how great God is. I can tell them, don't go out and kill Abishai. I mean, Simeon, because he's cursing me. Don't do these things. Don't kill Absalom because God said, David, because you sinned and everything, I'm going to allow your son to sleep with your concubines. See, God's going to bring a lot of tragedy, allow a lot of calamity. He says, "Is evil is not in the book of Amos, is evil not done in a city and I had not done it?" Ed Norton, I keep trying to see on that movie what he was doing. I want to hear it again and look up that word. It was on the Bourne Legacy. A Bourne Legacy. And Jeremy Renner plays the part. He was a substitute for Bourne. He played the starring role. But Ed Norton was telling him about going in and killing people, and he was a killer. And Ed Norton says that we are a sequator, a secretary, or something. Like I said, I remember him saying in the movie, me trying to get messages and things together. I remember that part in the movie, but I didn't look up the word at that time. He says what that is, and like I said, I'm find that word. I'm look at that movie so I can find that word and how to spell it and what the word means. But it says that sequator or secretary or whatever it is, it takes all the filth in the excrement of the world, of people that's cast out. It cleanses and purges that away. Does that not sound like the blood of Jesus Christ that takes all our sin, all our wrong, and it purges us and makes us white as snow? How can blood, a stained object, wash you as white as snow? That's a miracle of God. How does his blood purge us from all sin and unrighteousness? Through the faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. God's working in us. In other words, you'll have no more conscience of sin.
Because that what you done, people, you didn't mean to do them. You repent to God and say, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, neighbor. I'm sorry. And I didn't mean it, and I'll never do it again. And then I'm walking, and I'm one of the sons of God in eternal life. He's wrote those laws on my heart, and I have no more conscience of sin. As though I never eaten of the tree of good and evil. Because all I'll know, to the pure, all things are pure. I'll be just like Jesus Christ. I don't think evil. You do me something, I'm not trying to think of how to get even with you. I'm not trying to think of what to do you to get by. That's what's going on with David. That's why I say David was a broken man. It wasn't any more victories for David. David had many a wives, but how did David die? He died in old age. They said, bring a young girl in here, a concubine, to lay with and to keep him warm. But that's one of the reasons that one son got killed, because he slept with that concubine. Because she didn't do him any good. As you get older, you'll find out that what you thought you had to have, that woman is not the answer. As you get older, you're not going to look at relationships, sexual relationships, in the same manner. You're going to need Jesus Christ to satisfy you. You will realize that's where joy and happiness is, being united in Christ, pleasing unto God. All that one day you thought you had to have, you can look back at all those cars, the money, the relationships, the fun, the entertainment, all that you can count as rubbish. You'll give it all away to gain Jesus, to gain Christ. Your intent is, like David, you'll be a man after God's own heart. You want to do that which pleases God. He crossed him in the area of sex. In presumptuous sin, he slept with Bathsheba. But he realized that was his breaking point. What's your breaking point this morning? After God gets you cleansed, after God regenerates you, you've got your eternal life and sons of God. But first you have to be broken. You have to be washed. You have to be washed. But remember, like I said, that washing and regeneration, contemplate that. Contemplate it. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your